Out of this death consciousness also arose Eden's critique of Victorian imperial modernity. Nigel Lees quite rightly has suggested that an eschewal of the modern was a central move in the picturesque style, but Eden's move in the text, again, is an excess of this normative gesture. Her ire towards modernity is not simply because it spoils the pastoral feudal elegance of the past, or the busy technocratic urban structures of the present. Rather, she's attentive to the effects of a special kind of Victorian modernity, that is to say, Victorian capitalist modernity on human existence. In her 1866 dedication of her book to her nephew, Lord William Osborne, she ironically documents the effects of British presence in India. This is a very well-known passage. The Kutub will probably become a railway station. The Taj will, of course, under the sway of an Agra company, limited except for destruction, be bought up for a monster hotel. And the Governor General will dwindle down into a first-class passenger with a carpet bag. Yet, instead of this being a kind of traditional conservative lament for an unspoiled past, Eden opens out this passage with specific outlines for the reason of this degradation. Now that India has fallen under the curse of railroads, life and property will soon here become as insecure there as they are here, the here being Britain. Anticipating the later Victorian famine debates, Eden here sees the railways and the brash new capitalism that it stands for leading to greater social inequality and maldistribution of wealth. As she says later on, seeing a decaying Delhi, "We horrid English have just merchandised it, revenued it, spoiled it all. I'm not very fond of Englishmen out of their own country." India is spoiled here specifically because of the mercantile dynamics of colonial capital. Moreover, Eden is acutely aware that capitalist modernity does not bequeath moral progress, thinking about a favourite author, Charles Dickens. Nicholas Nickleby is a favourite novel. Eden recalls a contemporary trial about a Yorkshire school that seems to have specialised in brutalising orphans in Britain. All the boys had ophthalmia and one boy had his bones through his skin. None of the boys were allowed a towel. This is a Britain already populated by skeletal displaced humans. The leitmotif of skeletons that runs throughout the country connects her death consciousness to a critique of modernity. Like the fictitious Agra Rail Company that she conjures, we sense Eden offering us the discomforting notion of British Victorian modernity being limited in everything, as she says, but destruction, precisely because its structure relies on revenue and merchandising, that is, on colonial capital that spreads insecurity everywhere. Famines then emerge in Eden's narrative as a secretive code that can be used to decipher the unspoken essence of Victorian empire and modernity. Even as she declares the blessings conferred on India by her own entourage, Eden hints at her unease by lavishly documenting death, decay, and destruction of social fabric through industrial, financial, and colonial capitalism. In this, she remarkably anticipates the contours of later Victorian famine debates. Stylistically, this is how we started, her troubled imaginations about death and empire cannot be accommodated within the norms of the picturesque. Rather, her colonial/imperial picturesque, in attempting to frame the historical material of the ravages of empire, emerges as a necessarily uneven mode that it's compelled to transgress its own aesthetic boundaries. India, as seen through this lens, cannot quite be either sealed off within the ruined realm of the glorious past, nor within the intoned otherness of perpetual death. Rather, its skeletal presence signals an uneasy awareness of its coeval existence within Victorian modernity, that at the same time exposes the dark heart of empire. That's